התורה, אנחנו ממש הכל נהיה דברו.
Oh, fine.
Whatever.
Nah, just it's not halavai. That was it. No, it's just me doing it. All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Samech Aleph. We are beginning on the bottom of Samech Amud Beis. We have a sponsor this morning to thank David Kahana for sponsoring in memory of Reb Michal ben Reb David, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Shema has an aliyah, as well as in the Zchus of Refuah Shleimah for Charna Tova Bas Rachel Leah. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she has a complete and enduring Refuah. All right, well, so a lot to do today. So we left off, actually, wow, okay, we have a lot to do today. Kiyotze Badavar, first wide line on Samech Amud Beis, but it's okay, we're going to go quickly. Kiyotze Badavar Ata Omer, similarly again, remember we actually started this yesterday, Vayimtzu Meyoshe Gilad, Arba Meos Na'ara Besula Sher Lo Yadu Ish L'Mishkav Zohar. Remember again, this is in the episode of Pilegesh Begiva. I explained it yesterday, we're not going to explain it again today. So the Gemara says, they went ahead and they only spared the Na'ara Besula that had not been with a man. Minayadi, how do they know this? How do they know which woman? Now remember, the way the Gemara is approaching this is that it means a situation where she is a Besula already, where she's still a Besula, I should say. To which the Gemara is actually very interesting. We'll see this in Ksuvus. Amrav Kahana, Hoshivam Api Chavis Shayayin. They would go ahead, the woman would sit on top of a barrel of wine. Be'ula Recha Nodev, Besula Ein Recha Nodev. So apparently, again, if she was a Be'ula, again, they would smell the wine on her breath. And if she was a Besula, they would not smell the wine on her breath. What the Gemara's understanding over here is that the presence of the Basulim would have prevented the aroma of the wine. Obviously, anatomically interesting, but nevertheless, okay. So also, it could be very simple. The truth is, the Gemara's not making necessarily that this works. What the Gemara's saying is, this was the miraculous intervention they had to be able to figure out who was a Basula, who was a Ba'ula. So the Gemara asks, if you're already relying on miracles, why don't you just go ahead and pass them before the tzitz, like they did in Midyan. Remember, like we saw in yesterday's naf, they took the women, they passed them before the tzitz, and the woman ultimately who was a ba'ula, remember again, her complexion changed, to which the Gemara says, Amrav Kahana b'rei Rav Nasan l'ratzon. L'ratzon lohem, because the pasuk says, v'haya mitzcho tamid l'ratzon lohem lifnei Hashem. That the tzitz is supposed to serve a positive capacity, in a positive capacity, and not in a negative one. The Gemara says, L'ratzon v'lo l'paranos, ihachi, if that's the case, Yonami. So I don't understand, if that's the case, then how did they pass the Midianite women in front of the tzitz? Because remember, Abosai, if the woman's complexion changed colors, and which indicated that she was a ba'ula, at that point in time, she would have been killed. So again, here you have the tzitz being used in a non-positive way. Amravashi lohem ksiv, meaning it's l'ratzon for who? For the Jewish people. Lohem l'ratzon v'lo l'paranus, ulo ovdei kochavim afil l'paranus. It only could be used for the Jewish people in a positive way, but when used by the nations of the world, again, it could even be used in a way that ultimately, again, would be negative. Amrav Yaakov bar Idi, Amrav Yoshua ben Levi. Halacha k'rav Shimon Yochai. Once again, coming back to our regularly scheduled program. So now Rav Yaakov bar Idi says, the halacha follows Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Remember, what did Rav Shimon bar Yochai say? Rav Shimon bar Yochai was the one who said at the top of this daf that a giyores pechusa mibas shalosh shanim v'yom echad is k'sher l'kuhuna. That if a girl converts less than 3 years old in one day, i.e. at a time when Bia would have been insignificant, she is considered to be a regular Jewess, and therefore she's always considered to be a regular Jewess. But she's even permitted to go ahead and marry a kohen. Amarli Rabbi Zira, Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, tell me, beperu shmir lecha o michlalo shmir lecha? Did you hear this explicitly? Meaning, did you actually hear Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi say that the halacha of Rabbi Yoshua bar Yochai, or did you infer it circumstantially? Meaning, did you actually hear him say those words, the halacha of Rabbi Yoshua bar Yochai? Or did something happen? Like, did you experience something? Did you see an episode that would infer from there that we pass Rav Shimon bar Yochai? So the Gemara says, my klal. So obviously, if the Gemara asked that question, that means that there must have been an episode that circumstantially indicated that halacha follows Rashbi, Rav Shimon bar Yochai. My klal. The Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Ir Achos Haisa Be'eretz Yisrael. There was a city in Eretz Yisrael. Shekara Ala Iron. The Tirbo said there was Machlokes. Now, the fact that there's a Jewish city with Machlokes, that's not a Raya. So the Gemara says over here, what happened? Iror lifsol mishpacha seir. Mishpacha seir. So apparently there was a city with one Kohanic family, and as we're going to see, there are questions about the authenticity of that family's kahuna. What happened? Shagar Rebbe is Rabbi Romanos. So Rebbe sent Rabbi Romanos to the city to investigate what was going on. Ubatka, and he investigated. Umatza ba bas kiores b'chusim ishalosh shalom v'yom echad v'chshira Rabbi lekahuna. So also listen to this. So what happened? Rabbi Romanos shows up in the city, and what's all the machlokas about? There's one Kohanic family, and they realize, and people were saying that this Kohen had married a girl who had converted converted before the age of three, and people were saying that the family are not real Kohanim. Rabbi Romanos checked back with Rabbi, and Rabbi said she's absolutely kashir lekahuna. So this is the story. This is a story that would support the assertion that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Amarle, so to which Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi responded, Bishpferishmili. No, I didn't infer this from a story. I actually heard this explicitly. V'imichlala mai, and what would be the big deal if it was inferred from the story? Dilma shiny hasam hoil v'insiv insiv. Because maybe it's not a geraya, meaning because it could be that even though we'd say that halacha lemaisa kohen is not supposed to marry a girl who converted less than the age of three, perhaps even though he's not allowed to do it, if he did it, we would let him remain married. Deha Rav Rabbi Yochanan, Rami Tarvayu, because Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan both say, Bogeres u'mukas eitz lo yisa, that a kohen should not marry a bogeres and a mukas eitz, as we have discussed already. Ve'im nasa nasui, but yet again, if he did marry them, we allow him to remain married to them. Hachi hashta, so too I'd say over here, maybe the same thing. Kohen shouldn't marry a giores, even pachos mishaloshan. I mean, that he shouldn't marry a girl who had converted previously at earlier than the age of three. But if he married her, we would just leave it alone. To which the Gemara says, no. Bishlama hasam sofalios bogeres tachtov, sofalios pula tachtov. Remember the logic of the Rabbos saying, the reason we say that even though we don't want him to marry a bogeres, and we don't want him to marry a mukaseit, because the basulim are not fully there, if he did, we allow the marriage to stand, because at the end of the day, because he's going to live with her, she's going to lack the basulim anyway, so to speak. Hacha, sofa liyo zona tachtov. But Rabbos, remember the problem ultimately again of the giores marrying the kohen is an issue of zona, is an issue of a presumption of having had relations with someone ultimately again who was not her husband. To which the Gemara says, so can you say that we'd allow him to remain married to this woman? Do you say by marrying to the kohen she'd be ultimately become a zona? Of course not. So therefore the Gemara says the following: Rav Safra masin la mechlala. Rav Safra inferred that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon by Yochai, and he inferred it based on this story, v'kashile, and as a result, he had a particular question, meaning he had the question that we just raised before, u'mishani lehachi, and he answered it as we just did right now. Hahu kahana, de'ansiv gyoriz pachos p'chus mishlosha. So both sides, the way the Gemara sounds right now is that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon by Yochai, namely that a kohen could marry a girl, a gyoriz, who converted at the less than the age of three. So now, that's where the Gemara ends off now. However, now the Gemara says, hahu so there was a particular kohen who married a gioras, a girl who had converted before the earlier than the age of three. Amrulid of Nachar by Yitzchak, my hi. And Nachar by Yitzchak said, what are you doing? Right? He said to the kohen, what are you doing? Amrle, the Amrab Yaakov Aridi, Amrab Yoshua ben Levi, Halakh Rabishim Bayachai. So the kohen said, I don't know, what do you want from me? Right? So Rav Yaakov Aridi said that the halacha follows Rashbi, the halacha follows Rabishim Bayachai, which means, and therefore again, I am permitted to marry a Gioris who converted less than the age of three. So listen to this. So now Rav Nachar Bar Yitzchak says to him, Amrle, Zil Apik, you need to divorce her now. V'ilo mafikna, and if you do not divorce her, v'ilo, and if you don't, mafikna l'cha Rav Yaakov Bar Idi monach, I will literally remove Rav Yaakov Bar Idi from your ears. We'll say, in other words, what the Nachar Bar Yitzchak was saying was, you need to divorce her now, and if not, I'm going to knock some sense into you. Don't quote Rav Yaakov Bar Idi that halacha follows Rav Shimon Yochai, because halacha does not follow Rav Shimon Yochai. So we'll say, the way the Gemara ends off over here, it appears that with the conclusion of the Gemara is that the halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And in fact, that is how the Rambam paskins. The Rambam in Isuri Bia, Perek Yurches, Halacha Gimel writes, V'china giyores v'hamishukhreres afilu niskaira v'nishtachrera p'chusa mibas shalosh shanim hoil ve'ena bas Yisrael harezo zona v'asura l'kohen. So we'll say, Halacha l'maisa, we paskin that the prohibition for a kohen to marry a giyores is independent of when she converted. Even if she converted at less than the age of 3 years old, she converted as a child, she's still considered a giyores, and a kohen is not permitted to marry her. So that's how we paskin. I'm sorry? It's because categorically, she might be considered a zoni, even though practically she's not. The halacha assumes that it includes all forms of gerin. So most of the following. Now, Bosse, now once we quote Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Tanya, V'chein Hayu Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai also said, Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim Einam Mitamin Ba'ohel. Another interesting halacha. Bosse, we know there's a Tumas Ohel. Now, how do you have Tumas Ohel? So classic case of Tumas Ohel is you're under the same roof as a corpse, as a dead body. There's another Tumas Ohel, which is, by the way, if let's say there's a grave or there's a dead body, and you lean over that body, you become the Ohel, right? You are the Ohel. Even though, again, there's no direct contact, you are still, that's called Tumas Ohel. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai said that it's the graves of non-Jews do not go ahead and give off Tumas Ohel. Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, Va'etein tzoni tzon marisi adam atem. Because over here he quotes the Pasuk from Yechezkel, I will give over my sheep, right? The sheep that are under my watch. Adam Atem, this is referring to Klal Yisrael. You are considered to be Adam. Atem Kruim Adam, Ve'ina Ovdei Kochavim Kruim Adam. Rabbosei, remember, the Pasuk by Tumas Ohel is Adam Ki Yamus Ba'ohel. Right? When a person will die in the tents, the Torah speaks about the laws of Tumah. So the Gemara says, based on this Pasuk from Yechezkel, who does Adam refer to? Adam refers to Klal Yisrael. Adam was not referred to the nations of the world. Ve'ina Ovdei Kochavim Kruim Adam. May say the Gemara is Zakasha. 1 second. The Nefesh Adam, Shisha Asar Elef. So here's one problem with that logic, which is going back to the war with Midian. So the Torah speaks about the captives that they took. And when speaking about the Midianite captives, the Torah uses the word Adam. So you see that Adam is not just used in reference to the Jewish people. Adam is used in general for human beings. To which the Gemara says, no. The only reason it uses Adam there is to differentiate Mishum Behema. The only reason Adam is used there is in a categorical sense to differentiate between the humans and the animals that were taken captive. Asher Yesh Bahar. So the Gemara says, but still, Asher Yesh Bahar be Mishteim Esrei Rivo Adam, Asher Lo Yada Ben Yemino Lismolo, Ubehema Rabba. Rabba says, listen to this. What about the end of Sefer Yonah? What happens at the end of Sefer Yonah? Yonah is upset that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to spare Nineveh. And what does God respond to Yonah? What do you want me to do? This is a city with an incredible number of people. So again, what do you see? Now, Nineveh, of course, is not a Jewish city. And you see that the word Adam is used to describe the Gentile population. So you see that Adam is used even in the context of a non-Jew, to which the Gemara says, no, Mishum Behema. That Halacha Lamaisa, the only reason that word is used there is to differentiate between human beings and animals. So essentially what the Gemara is saying is like this. When you have to differentiate between humans and animals, so the word Adam is always used and it refers to everyone. However, when there's no animals in the picture, we're just speaking about people, the word Adam is used to describe Klal Yisrael. Therefore, the Gemara is saying, based on that, when the Torah says, Adam Ki Yamos Ba'ohel, and speaks about the laws of Tumas Ohel, that is dafka a din in Jewish dead, not a din in Gentile dead. So the Gemara says, 1 second, kol horeg nefesh v'chol nogea b'cholol tischatu, but yet again, the Pasuk again by Midian says that when the Jewish soldiers came back from war, so Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them that whoever killed anyone or touched a corpse will have to undergo a period of ritual purity, para aduma. So we'll say, presumably, which dead were they coming in contact with? Midianites, right? Gentile dead. So you see from here that nevertheless what? That lamaisa their tummy. So you see over here that again, a non-Jewish corpse does transmit tumah, to which the Gemara says, no, Dilma iktil chad ni Yisrael. maybe just in the midst of battle, so the Jewish soldier accidentally killed another Jew, or for that matter, came in contact with a Jewish corpse. So who's to say that the tumah that they've experienced is from the Gentile dead, maybe from the Jewish dead? V'rabbanan, what would the rabbi say to this? Because also remember, the rabbis, on the other hand, say that ovdei kochavim are metamin, right? That a non-Jewish corpse is metami. So what would they say? Lo nifkad mimenu ish. See, they would answer that up, that in Midyan, it can't refer to the Gentile dead. Why can't it refer to the Gentile dead? Because the Torah says, lo nifkad mimenu ish, that when they came back from Midyan, the report that they gave was that what? No one was lost. If no one was lost, that means there were no Jewish dead. If there were no Jewish dead, then by definition, the only dead they could have come in contact with were the Gentile dead. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, lo nifkad mimenu ish la'aveira. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, no. Lo nifkad mimenu ish, that we did not lose anyone, does not refer to death, it refers to sin. Rashi points out that even in the, remember why the whole war with Midian began? The whole war with Midian began because the Midianite women made a concerted effort to lure the Jewish men into a web of immorality. Rashi points out that apparently these efforts persisted even during the actual war itself. So Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, "Lo nifka menu ish," does it mean we lost? We did not lose one man to sin. That ultimately, again, no one ended up sinning during this time. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, "One second, nihi dima'atinhu kra me'atmuye ba'ohel tichsev adam kemas ba'ol." Now, even if we say that a non-Jewish body does not transmit tumas oil, so that's what the Gemara is seemingly coming to right now. That even if you want to say that a non-Jewish body does not transmit tumas ohel, mimaga umasa mi ma'atinukra. Even if you want to say that now, that what we've essentially established is that adam kiyamus ba'ol, or if adam refers to a Jew, so only a Jewish body will go ahead and communicate tumas ohel. So now comes along Ravina and says, one second, even if you want to exclude the Gentile body from tumas ohel, still maga and masa, if you actually touch that body, come in physical contact with that body, do we think that a person would not become tumah as a result of that? Meaning that just because a Gentile body would not have tumas ohel does not necessarily mean what? That it wouldn't have tumas maga umasa, that you wouldn't contract ritual purity, impurity from touching. I'll tell you something interesting. So this itself is an interesting discussion as well. A lot of halacha today, so I'll just tell you very quickly. So the Shulchan Aruch in Yeredeya, Hilchos Avelos, this is a Shin Ayin Beis Beis, writes, Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim. What do you do about the graves of non-Jews? Nachon lizar hakohen melelech aleihem. A kohen should be careful not to go ahead and literally walk over them. So that's referring over here to tumas ohel. And of course, it goes without saying also for maga and masa, also for touching. He says, that the Rama writes, afapi sheyesh makilin. Even though there are those who are lenient and say that there is no tumas meis by a Gentile. There's no tumas meis by a non-Jewish body. However, v'nochon lahachmir. It is appropriate to imachmir. So you say to yourself, okay, very interesting, where does this come up? If I told you how many questions I got about this, when this come up, remember a while ago, the Science Center had a mummy exhibit. So I'll tell you, Mamish, I was getting called. So people, I got a call actually from a Cohen who was standing there. So, you know, I'm looking at a mummy, and I'm realizing now that perhaps, again, is this a Shaila? So I'll say, so the truth is, lechatchila, we would tell a Cohen, don't go. Don't go. Lechatchila, we tell a Cohen, don't go. Because, again, the assumption is the mummy's not Jewish. It's a chazaka, mummies are not Jewish. Right? You know, so the mummy's not Jewish, but nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, better to be Machmir. Better to be Machmir. So again, if he was already there and, you know, he doesn't have to, you know, drop everything and run out, you know, jump out the closest window. But Lemaisa, again, it's good to be Machmir on this, even though there are Makilim. Okay, says the Mishnah. Ires es ha'almana. Kohen Nabosa, we actually saw this Mishnah quoted in yesterday's daf. Ires es ha'almana, the Kohen Gadol did Eresin with an almana, with a widow. Now remember, again, he's not permitted to marry. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Ires es ha'almana, he's a regular Kohen, regular guy, regular Kohanic guy. And what happens? So he does Eresin with a widow, and then when he's in the middle of Eresin, not in the middle of Eresin, but while he's still in the state of Eresin, Nismana Lihios Kohen Gadol. He's appointed by his fellow Kohanim to become the Kohen Gadol. Yichno, so the Shaila, of course, now becomes, what does he do? Right? Meaning there was nothing wrong with the Eresin, absolutely permitted, but now again, in his position as the Kohen Gadol, he would not have been permitted to marry this woman. So what should he do? So the Mishnah Paskins, Yichnos. He is permitted to go ahead and carry through and marry her. Again, we'll see why that is in the Gemara. Uma Asabi Yoshua ben Gamla, Shekideish Esmarta Bas Baitos. Now we'll see, the Gemara tells a very interesting story about Yoshua ben Gamla. Now Yoshua ben Gamla, by the way, is very well known. Yoshua ben Gamla was, the Gemara credits him with setting up an educational system throughout Eretz Yisrael. He was very into chinuch, very into education. He set up a school system. So Yoshua ben Gamla married Marta Bas Baitos, one of the wealthiest women in Eretz Yisrael. But he, for her midos, right? So he married Marta Bas Baitos, Umano HaMelech Lios Kohen Gadol, and the king appointed him, Yoshua ben Gamla, to go ahead and be the Kohen Gadol. Now we'll discuss, because this story already sounds strange. Why is the king appointing the Kohen Gadol? We'll get to this. Vikinsa. And even though, now remember, this all happened during Erisin, and yet Yoshua ben Gamla still married Marta Bas Baitos. So the Gemara is bringing this story as a raya to the fact that as long as Erisin was permitted, based on his Kohanic state, even if he becomes Kohen Gadol before Nisuin happens, he's still permitted to go through with the Nisuin. Similarly, Shomeres Yavam Shenafal Lifnei Kohen Hedjot. Similarly, again, I'll say, if you have a Shomeres Yavam, so Shomeres Yavam, if you have a Shomeres Yavam, Shomeres is a woman waiting for Yibum that fell before the Kohen Gadol, before the Kohen Hedjot, v'nismana lios Kohen Gadol, and then he was appointed to become the Kohen Gadol, afa pi sha'asa ba'ma'amar, even though he did ma'amar, nevertheless, what? Nevertheless, harei ze lo yichnos. He should not marry. So we'll say, we're going to have to understand this distinction, because on one hand, we just got finished saying that if he was makadish and almana while he was a regular Kohen and then was appointed Kohen Gadol, he's permitted to marry the almana. Yet, if he did ma'amar with the yivama and then was appointed Kohen Gadol, he may not marry her. He has to go ahead and, well, if he did ma'amar, we know what's the process. How do you undo ma'amar? Right? Get and chalitza. Says the Gemara. Turn Rabbanan. How do we know this? That if a Kohen was Makadish and Almano, then during Kiddushin he's appointed as Kohen Gadol. How do I know that he's still permitted to marry her? Tamalomar Yikach Isha, because the Pasuk says he shall take the woman. Right now, again, remember, the Gemara is quoting over here the Pasuk from Almano Ugrusha Vechalala Zona Es Ela Lo Yikach. We quoted this Pasuk extensively yesterday. Kim Besulame Amov Yikach Isha. So the Gemara understands that last phrase, Yikach Isha, refers essentially to what? That if he already initiated a process of Yikach Isha, if he already initiated a process of Kicha, a process of Kiddushin with a woman who was permitted to him at the time of the Kiddushin, then what? He is permitted to complete that process. Yikach Isha. Ihachi Shomeres Yavam Nami. I don't say if that's the case, then why don't we let him follow through on the Yibam also? Well, so remember, again, that was the last case. So why is it that in the case of when he did Ma'amar with the Yivama, now he's appointed to Kohen Gadol, why don't we let him finish up that case as well? To which the Gemara says, Isha velo Yivama. Because the Pasuk says, no, Tafka refers to an Isha and not the Yivama. Remember also, we've seen this distinction, that as much as in so many respects the Yivama is considered to be an Isha, the Gemara understands, is a woman who is undergoing a normal marital process, not a Yivama. Says the Gemara, Ma'aseh b'Yoshua. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Minohu in nismana l'narabosai. Now, interestingly enough, the normal lashon for the appointment of a Kohen Gadol is a lashon of nismana. Now, nismana literally means he was chosen. That's because normally, how does the Kohen Gadol become the Kohen Gadol? How does he become the Kohen Gadol? Right. Essentially, there's like, for lack of a better, there's a Kohanic, what are they called? Conclave? Kohanic conclave, right? I don't know, the white smoke, the black smoke, right? Now, but what they do is, the Kohanim get together, and among themselves, they decide as a collective group, who the next Kohen Gadol should be. So that'd be a lashon. Minohu, it sounds like somebody, individual, appointed Yoshua ben Gamla. Well, that's not how the Kohanic process works. It's nismane. Normally, again, if you look at Rashi, minohu in kilomar ha-melech minu. The king appointed him, aval echav ha-kohanim v'sanhedrin lo minu. But again, remember, normally what happens is the Kohanim and then the Sanhedrin signs off. And if that didn't happen, nismane lo katani davimasha dero yohay lekach. Oh, so we'll say, what the Gemara is picking up on is, minuhu makes it sound like that the king appointed him, and he wasn't necessarily the person who was most fit for the position. Nismane indicates to us that what? He was chosen from amongst his brethren and indeed was the right person for the job. So what happened over here? Amar Rav Yosef, Katir Kachazina Hacha. I see something suspicious happening over here. Really means I see something inappropriate happening over here. What happened? Amar Rav Asi, Tarkava de Dinari Ailile Marta Basbaitus Lianai Malka. Marta Basbaitus, who we said was exceptionally wealthy, she paid off the king. Who was the king? The king was Yanai. Who was Yanai? Yanai is Jewish. He's one of the Hashmonai kings, one of the Hasmonean kings. Now remember again, as much as the Hashmonaim were incredible in that they rededicated the second Beis HaMikdash and literally, you know, restarted Jewish life for a couple of hundred years, the Hashmonai monarchy became exceptionally corrupt, especially towards the end. And one of the ways in which their corruption was manifest is they sold off the position of the Kohen Gadol. And I remember, the reason they were able to do that was why? Why? How do they have such control? They were Kohanim themselves. Remember again, big machlokus in the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether or not the Hashmonaim did the right thing by seizing the monarchy. Right? The Rambam says it was a good thing. The Ramban says it was their undoing because there's supposed to be a distinction between the Kahuna and the Malucha. In any event, so what happens? Marta Bas Baitus paid off King Yanai to go. It was a wedding present for her husband to make her husband Kohen Gadol. At the Muki de Yeshua ben Gamla, Pekan Arav. Now, boss, I want to be clear. There were some Kohanim Gedolim who bought this position who were terrible, terrible people. The Gemara is not saying Yehoshua ben Gamla was a very good man. He, as I said before, he was responsible for initiating the educational system throughout Eretz Yisrael. He was a very good man. But he wasn't fit. He wasn't really the Kohen Gadol. That he wasn't really supposed to occupy that position. So it's not saying that he was evil. He wasn't bad. It's just that his wife bought him the position. Okay? So the Gemara goes weiter. The Mishnah goes weiter. Kohen Gadol Shemes. So what happens? If a Kohen Gadol dies, Kohen Gadol Shemes Echav, Choletz Velo Miavim. So we'll say next halacha. So let's say you have Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven is, obviously they're brothers, so they're both Kohanim. What happens? Reuven dies, and now Shimon is the Kohen Gadol. Shimon is the Kohen Gadol. So what does he do? He has to do Chalitza, and he cannot go ahead and do Yibum. Which Rabbi say is not a Chiddush. Why can't he do Yibum? Because he's not permitted to marry an Amana. Right? Very simple. His sister-in-law is an Amana. His brother dies, so he's not allowed to marry an Amana, so he has to do Chalitza. To which the Gemara says, Kaposik Vitani, Loshna Mina Erisim, Loshna Mina Nisuina. Interestingly enough, the Mishnah makes no distinction as to what stage of marriage she's widowed from, if she's widowed from Erisim and she's widowed from Nisuin. Bishlam Mina Nisuina. I understand if she's widowed from Nisuin, I understand why he can't do Yibam. You know why? Asay velo sasehu. Because Rabbi Osai, to do Yibam with this woman would be the violation of an asay and a lo sasay. What's the asay and lo sasay? Number one, it's in violation of an asay because the Torah says, Besula. He has to take a Besula. This woman is not a Besula. That's the violation of the asay. And the lo sasay is what? That she's an amana, that she's a widow. The ain asay and the asay of Yibum will not be doche, the lo sasay v'asay. So one asay of Yibum will not set aside the lo sasay and asay of his kuna. But if she's widowed from Erisin, Yavo Asay v'yitches lo sasay. And I will say, if she's widowed from Erisin, the assumption is there's only one problem with her, which is what? That she's an almana. Because remember, the assumption is what? That she is still a besula. Because remember, she was widowed from Erisin, which means she was not yet living with her husband. So if that's the case, that it's only an almana issue, why don't you say that the Asay, the mitzvah's Asay of Yibum, comes and overrides the lo sasay of her being an almana? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. I will say, we learned this before. Gezeira bir rishona atu biyashniya. Because remember, this whole asay lo sasay thing, let's say that's right. Let's say in principle that is correct. That if she is an amana from Erisin, that technically speaking, the asay of Yibum should come along and be docha the lo sasay of the fact that she's an amana. That is true only for the Bia Rishona, because the Bia Rishona is the Bias Mitzvah, is the Bias Yibum. That's where you have the Asay of Yibum. The problem, of course, is if he were to continue to live with her, every subsequent Bia is no longer a Mitzvah. It would just simply be what? It would just simply be an Isser of him continuing to live with a woman who was an Almana. So even though your logic works for Bia Rishona, your logic will not work for the subsequent Bios, and therefore we have him do Chalitza and not Yibum. Says the Mishnah, Kohen Hedyot lo Yisa Eilenis, Ela Im Ken Yesh lo Isha Ubanim. So a Kohen Hedyot, a regular Kohen, should not marry an Eilenis. was we've established right, idleness is not just simply a woman who is barren, but a woman who failed to develop certain signs of what we'll call female maturation. So again, that ultimately is indicative of the fact that she's not going to bear children, so she's not of childbearing ability. So a Kohen, head yot, should not marry an idleness, unless, of course, he already has another wife and children. So if he already has another wife and children, and he wants to marry this woman also, he's permitted to do so. Obviously, we'll say the logic behind this would be that Lemaisa, since he's mitzvah on period of Arivia, since he has an obligation to have a family, this islandess wife cannot be his only wife. If he has another wife, and from her he has children, he can marry the islandess also. Rabbi Huda says, Afa pishesh isha binam isha ubanim, lo yisa islandess, shehi zona ha'amura b'tora. So Rabbi Huda takes a very interesting position. Rabbi Huda says, no, Kohen Hedyot still can't marry the islandess. You know why? Because even if he has another wife, and even if he has children, he still can't marry an islandess, because an islandess categorically is a zona. Now we'll have to decide exactly what that means. The chacham say that is not true. Ein zona eligiores umishuchreres v'shenivala bi'ilas. The chacham say absolutely untrue. A zona is a very specific category of a woman who has or may have engaged in illicit relations. Literally a convert or a slave woman who was freed, who ultimately had bias znos. Amarli Resh Gemara. Amarli Resh Galusa L'Rav Huna. My time. A Mishnah Pirav Rivia. Supposed to remember, why is it that the Mishnah Paskin that a Kohen Gadol can't, excuse me, that a Kohen Hedjet, a regular Kohen, can't marry an islandess? Oh, because a Pirav Rivia, because he has an obligation to have a family, and he can't have a family with this woman. I don't understand. I'm sorry? Look at the next word. Says the Gemara, Kohanim hu demifkiri, Yisrael lo mifkidi. So you tell me only Kohanim are obligated in period of Arivia and Yisraelim are not? Right? The Mishnah makes it sound like it's only a problem for Kohanim, not a problem for anyone else. Amarle, Mishum de Kaboy le Misni Seifim Mirabose. That same logic should say that a Yisrael also can't marry an islandess. It's not just a din and the kahuna. To which the Gemara says, Amarle, Mishum de Kaboy le Misni Seifa. Rabbi Huda Omer Afa Pishiyesh lo Isha. I'm amazed. Vyesh lo Banam lo Yisa islandess. She zona amura batora. Da azona Kohanimu de Mifkidi. Vyisra lo Mifkidi. Mishum hachi katani kohen, because we'll say you're right. But since the Mishnah wanted to introduce the ruling of Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Huda said that even if a kohen has children, he's still not permitted to go ahead and marry the islandess. Why? Because in Rabbi Huda's worldview, an islandess is a zona. So since, again, Rabbi Huda's statement was talking about the ramifications of islandess on the kohen, and dafka that she's a zona, so to the beginning of the Mishnah also phrased it in terms of the kahuna, even though you're right. This first statement of the Mishnah applies to both Kohanim and non-Kohanim equally. That a non-Kohen who does not have a family would also not be permitted to go ahead and marry an islandess. Amar Rav Huna, Rabbi Hussein, you should know, that's also codified. That's in the Mamish, all the way in the beginning of Evan Ezra. That's Simon Aleph and Evan Ezra in Hilchos Pirei V'Rivia, where the Shulchan Aruch discusses that a man is not permitted to marry a woman who is Eina Bas Banim. If a man knows that a woman is incapable of having children, then Lamaise, he should not marry her. Now, it's interesting that Ramah comes along and he says, the truth is, but today, we don't get involved in Shiduchim. The Rama says. Now, the Rama says is today, you know what? Now, what the Rama is also reflecting is weakened communal structures, right? How much power do you really have over who everybody marries? So the Rama says, again, we tried to urge him that he should marry someone who's going to be able to have a family with fulfillment of period of Rivia, but Lamaisa, if he still decides to marry this particular woman, says the Rama, we leave him alone. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, my time to Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda made a very dramatic statement, which was that an islandess, that a woman who is incapable of having children, it's considered to be a zona, al tekahuna. So where does he get that from? My time, Rabbi Huda, the chsiv, achlu. Quote over here, the pasuk from Hosea. Va'achlu v'lo yispu, they will eat and not be sated. Hiznu v'lo yifrotsu. And literally, they will engage in znus, but znus here doesn't have to mean necessarily immorality. It means relations. V'lo yifrotsu, but they will not procreate. Therefore, Rabbi Huda understands from here. Kol bia she'in ba'pirtza. What do you see from here? That any bia that cannot result in procreation is a bi'ilas znus. It's considered to be an act of immorality. Now, that doesn't literally mean that every act of bia that does not result in a pregnancy is znus contributed. What Rabbi Huda is saying is an act of bia that cannot result in pregnancy, which means an islandess. So a bia with an islandess which cannot result in pregnancy, Rabbi Huda understands such a bia is a bias znus. And therefore, again, the Kohen can't marry the islandess, because every bia with her would be a bia's nus. And according to Rabbi, this is true, even if he has another wife and he has other children already, he still can't marry this islandess. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kohen lo yisa saktana. We learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer said, a Kohen may not marry a ketana. Now, we'll say, so let's analyze this for just a moment. So now we have the Chidus Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says he may not marry an islandess because ultimately, again, any bia that cannot result in pregnancy will ultimately go ahead and be a bias nos. Rabbi Eliezer says, Kohen lo yisa es haktana. Kohen may not marry a ketana. Omali Rav Chista le Rabba. Rav Chista says to Rabba, Puk ayin ba, go and investigate this ruling that a kohen may not marry a ketana. Why? De la arta ba'i la Rav Huna minach. Because tonight Rav Huna is going to ask you to explain it. Nafak. Rabba went out, ayin ba, and he examined it, and he came up with the following conclusion, that why does Rabbi Eliezer say that a kohen may not marry a ketana? Because Rabbi Eliezer savlak Rabbi Meir, for savlak Rabbi Yehuda. It must be that Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Yehuda. What does that mean? Savlak Rabbi Meir, the chayish l'mi'uta. Then Rabbi say, he holds like Rabbi Meir, shitas Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir is chayish from mi'uta. Now what does it mean, mi'uta? Rabbi Meir is choshesh even for the outliers. For example, when you have a girl who's a ketana, there is a possibility that what? There is a possibility that she may be an islandess. There's a possibility. Now, you won't know that until she gets older, but there's a chashash. Now, the problem, of course, is if the kohen marries her and it turns out that she was an islandess, then lemaisa, again, that would be potentially a bias znus. So therefore, he holds like Rabbi Eliezer holds like number one, like Rabbi Meir's choshish lemi'uta. V'savlak Rabbi Yehuda, da'amar islandess zona havya. So we'll say if you combine these two shitas, number one is choshish for the mi'ut, for even a very small possibility, and number two holds like Rabbi Yehuda that an islandess is a zona. So therefore, if you put those two shitas together, what do you come up with? That a kohen is not permitted to marry a ketana, because I'm choshish for the miyot that maybe she's an islandess, plus, and therefore, again, like Rabbi Yehuda, that a bia with an islandess is bia with a zona. So the Gemara says, 1 second. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, v'savlak Rabbi Yehuda, is that true? That Rabbi Eliezer holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, v'savlak Rabbi Yehuda, amar islandess zona, havya? Does he really hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that an islandess is a zona? Rabbi Meir, misavlak, and does he really hold like Rabbi Meir? The Gemara says, v'hatayim, but we learned, Katan uketana lo cholzen v'lo miyabmin. Yet we learned in our braisa, a katan uketana do not do yibum and do not do chalitza div Rabbi Meir. Rosi, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. And again, the logic behind this would be that what? That because Rabbi Meir is choshesh, well, let's see. Amrullo Rabbi Meir, they said to Rabbi Meir, yafa amarta, the truth is, you say good, she'in cholzen. I understand why they can't do chalitza. Because after all, the Torah says, ish ksiv b'parsha. The Torah speaks about the fact that the ish will go ahead, v'im lo yachpotza ish, lakacha says yivimto. If the man does not want to go ahead and do yibum. So it indicates that what? It has to be an ish. He has to be an adult man. Umakshinon isha li'ish. And the truth is, we will assume that just like he has to be a man, so too she has to be a woman. That chalitza can only take place between adults. Ela mai taima ein miyamin. But why can't they do yibum? Amarle katan shema yimtza sris. Ketana shema timtza ilanis. Because ultimately, again, Rabbi Meir responded, because we're concerned that maybe the boy will turn out to be a siris, right? He'll be sterile. Maybe the girl will turn out to be an islandess. The nimtza pogin be'erva. Because also remember we had in the beginning of Yevamos, remember again, what happens if the widow, the sister-in-law, is an islandess? What's the halacha? There's no yibum in such a situation, because the whole point of yibum is what? Lahakim zera l'shemachiv, to go and establish children. If we know that either party, either the surviving brother or the woman, is incapable of having children, there is no din of yibum. Therefore, Rabbi Meir says, when they're a katan and a ketana, we don't let them do yibum out of the concern that maybe one of them is incapable of having children, and therefore, lemaisa again, it'll turn out that it's now, again, if you marry your deceased brother's wife in a non-yibum context, that's arayos. To which the Gemara says, "Vetanya," and yet we learned, "Vetanya ketana misyavemes ve'ino choletz is Rabbi Eliezer." So we'll say, "Yet we learned that what? That a ketana does yibum but does not do chalitza according to Rabbi Eliezer." So we'll say, "What do you see over here? You see, I understand Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's whole shita is chayish l'mi'uta. Rabbi Meir holds that we have to take into account even the most remote possibilities, and therefore, again, we're not going to let the ketana katan on the ketana do yibum. Why? Because it may turn out that they're incapable of having children. If they're incapable of having children, then it's arayos. It's not yibum. So that's that's Rabbi Meir. And yet Rabbi Eliezer says what? No, they can't do chalitza because chalitza requires adults, but we would let them do yibum. What do you see from here, Abosai? We just said before that Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Meir. Clearly here you see what? That Rabbi Eliezer does not hold like Rabbi Meir. Or Rabbi Yehuda Misavala. And does Rabbi Eliezer really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Remember, Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that bia with an islandess is like bia with a zona. So does Rabbi Meir really hold, does Rabbi Eliezer really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? This is the Gemara says, Vahatanya, we learned, Zona kishma, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi say, what is a zona? So Rabbi Eliezer says, zona kishma. A zona is just like what it sounds like. Rashi says, loshon toa shetor mitachas baila lachir. Rabbi Eliezer, ain zona ela eshes ish. What's interesting, so a zona means a woman who is married but has relations with other men. Right? That's a zona according to Rabbi Eliezer. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva says, zona zumufkeres. Zona is a woman, now she could be married or not married. She doesn't have to be married, she can even be a single girl. But ultimately, again, she allows herself to be immoral with many men. With many men. Rabbi Masih ben Charash says, Afila halach baila lahashkosa. Ubala bederech asa zona. Masih ben Charash says that a zona is any woman, even if, let's say, her husband was taking her to Yerushalayim for the Sota process, and during the journey, he had relations with her, which is prohibited, that makes her a zona as well. According to Rabbi Masih ben Charash, any prohibited act of even if it's with her own husband, would go ahead and make her a zona. Rabbi Huda says, zona zu islandess. Rabbi Huda says, zona could be relations with any woman who is incapable of having children. The Chum say, ain zona ela gioras umishuchreres vishenivala bi'ilas znus. And the Chacham say, no, a zona is only a woman essentially who has engaged in some type of illicit relationships. Either, again, prior to her becoming Jewish, prior to her emancipation, and she engaged in some type of bi'ilas znus. So, Rabbi, so what do you see from here? Rabbi Eliezer says, panui haba ala pnuya, if a single man and a single woman have relations, shelo l'shein ishus, not for the sake of affecting marriage, asa'a zona, she is a zona. So, Rabbi, what do you see from here? What's the whole takeaway message trust from this? Is Rabbi Eliezer does not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll say, so now we have a problem. Because remember again, Rabbi Eliezer made a statement that said that a Kohen should not marry a Ketana. And we said the basis for that statement was because Rabbi Eliezer holds like who? Like Rabbi Meir, who's choshesh for the miut, and like Rabbi Huda, who says that an islandess is a zona. Now we've just disproven both of those things. Rabbi Eliezer does not hold like either of those opinions. If that's the case, what's his logic for saying that a kohen can't marry a ketana? The Gemara says, Ela amar av adabar ava hocha. What is the case? Why is it that a kohen can't marry a ketana? Hacha be kohen gadol askinan. Oh, who are we dealing with over here? Not just a regular kohen, but who? A kohen gadol. Le'imas kanila. Now remember, I will say, if a kohen gadol is marrying a ketana, when does he quote-unquote acquire her? Lechi gadla, only when she becomes an adult woman. Aye, but in that case, in that situation, what? Be'ulahi. She is already a be'ula. Meaning, so the assumption is he's already lived with her, and therefore lemaisa, when he could formally affect the marriage, she's already a be'ula. Amar Rava. Rava says, Michle Lev, what you're saying literally is destroying my heart, which is another way of saying, Rava says, what are you talking about? What do you mean he only acquires her, only marries her when she's older? Idikid Sha'avuha. Now remember, I will say, how is a kohen marrying a ketana? There are only one of two ways this could happen. Idikid Sha'avuha, if her father is marrying her off, which is a biblical kiddushin, Me'ahi Shaitohu Dekanila. Then I will say, if the father is marrying off his minor daughter, his ketana daughter, then the kohen gadol is married to her when? At the moment that the father betroths him to her. V'idikid Sha'avuha. And if she's marrying off herself, ha Rabbi Eliezer hi v'lo rabbanon. I will say now, if she's marrying off herself, is a ketana able to marry off herself? The answer, of course, is no. A ketana is not able to affect kiddushin on her own. So what's going on over here? So meaning, and if she's marrying off herself, essentially, both according to Rabbi Eliezer and the rabbanon, this won't work. Ela amar Rava li'ola mekoin hedjot. The truth is, okay, so let's go back. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about where the girl was married to a kohen hedjot. V'chayshinan shema tispate alav. And what are we concerned about? we're concerned that if the kohen marries a ketana, that she will end up having relations with other men. That she'll bright. Now, both say, what are we concerned? Look at Rashi Tispata. V'tizna alav lefi she'in badas klum. Because ultimately, again, it's easier to take advantage of her because she is young, and therefore we're concerned that she'll end up having relations with other men other than her husband. So the Gemara says, Ihachi Yisrael Nami. Well, if that's the case, that you're concerned that she's going to be taken advantage of, then lemais again, why don't you say that no one should marry a ketana? Right, then no one should enter into this kind of marriage. Which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Pitui ketana onisu. Because we'll say, let's say again, this ketana is seduced and is taken advantage of by another man. So that is the equivalent halachically of violation of rape. Right? So because we'll say, remember again, since the ketana doesn't have das, therefore by definition, if another man takes advantage of her, that's like ones. The ones be Yisrael mishroshari. And if the wife of a Yisrael is violated, then what? Then lemaisa again, she is still permitted to her husband. However, again, Rabbi, so we know what the halacha is. That what? That if the wife of a kohen is violated, she is not permitted to him. Therefore, Rabbi Lezer seems to simply be saying, as a good matter of advice, the kohen should not go ahead and marry a ketana. Rapapa says, the kohen gadol. No, the truth is, it's talking about a kohen gadol. V'hai tana hu desanya. And this statement is reflected in the following tana. Besula yachol ketana. So I'll say, so really, we're talking about a kohen gadol. So what's the case here? Because the Brisa says like this. When the Torah says that the kohen gadol has to marry a besula, yachol ketana, I'm at a thought he could even marry a ketana. Talmud lomar isha. Yet the Torah says yes to marry an isha. And I will say isha was seen to mean what? An adult woman. Isha yachol bogeres. See if he can marry an isha, I would have thought he could marry a bogeres also. Talmud lomar besula. But yet he wanted to marry a besula. And remember, as we established already before, that a bogeres already has, her besula are already somewhat diminished. So hakeit. So we'll say, so we have contradictory inferences. On one hand, you want him to marry a besula, which means again, she's young. On the other hand, you say isha, which means she has to be an adult. So what's going on? Hakeit. We wanted to marry a girl who is no longer a ketana, but she has not yet come into the state of bagrus, which Rabbi essentially refers to what? A nara. Remember again, a ketana is below the age of 12, a bogeres is the age of 12 years old and 6 months and up, and a nara is that 6-month window of 12 to 12 years old and 6 months. So the Gemara seems to be saying over here that this opinion of Rabbi Elezer is reflecting the view that we would like a kohen if possible to marry a nara, because like this, it's before bagrus, therefore the basulim are intact, but yet she's not a ketana, she still satisfies the criteria of isha. The Gemara says, Disanya Nachmar Yitzchak Amar Haytanahu Disanya Besula. Ein besula, ein nara. What does besula mean when the Torah says the kohen gadol should marry a besula? What does that refer to? That refers to a nara. The chenu omer, simply because the pasuk says v'hanara tovas mar'em me'od besula. A reference to who this is talking about, Rivka Imenu. By the well, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Panui Habala Pnuya. So that's how the Gemara in the end explains Rabbi Eliezer's statement, that Rabbi Eliezer is literally saying that Lamaisa, if possible, the Kohen Gadol should marry again, shouldn't marry a Ketana, but also shouldn't marry a Bogeres, but instead should marry a Nara. The Gemara now just ends off with one more piece of information. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Panoi Habala Pnuya, Sholoshem Ishus Asa Zona. Rabbi Elazar says that if a single man has relations with a single woman, not for the sake of marriage, he has made her a Zona. Amr of Amram, Ein Halacha Karebi Elazar. The Halacha does not follow Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar says that is indeed how we paskin, that we paskin at the definition of a Zona, as I've said before, the Shulchan paskins. The definition of a zona is a woman who has had relations with a man with whom she could not have kiddushin. So, for example, if a single Jewish man and a single Jewish woman have relations, even though it's not for the sake ultimately of kiddushin, it's wrong, it's usur, but Lamaisa does not give her the status of zona vis-a-vis the kuruna. All right, we'll stop over here. Pick up at the Mishnah Meretz Hashem tomorrow.